T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Popcorn
ready. On three. One, two, three. This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hertel and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Welcome back to Sports Daily here on a Tuesday. A huge week one for a lot of NFL teams point-wise. Had 30 and 40 point outputs all over the place. And up among them, one of the usual suspects, Kansas City Chiefs, as they put away the Jacksonville Jaguars 40-26. A lot happened in the game, in addition to the Chiefs putting up 40 again. We are joined, as we are every Tuesday, on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline by Dan Israel, Chiefs Chat from Chiefs Radio Network. He's brought to you by Midwest Kia. We'll get to the injuries and the fights and all the other riffraff that went on in the game, Dan, but the bottom line is, when the game was in the balance and Patrick Mahomes was not banged up, he looked like he didn't miss a beat. He just shredded what we think is a really good Jaguars defense, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, they basically, when the game was still mattered, they had 7 drives when this was still a contest, and they scored in all 7 of them. And I don't know how it gets much better than that. You know, I mean, when you look around, the other thing I would point out here is that with the injuries, I mean, they hung 40 points on what is reportedly a very good Jacksonville defense without Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
So that's pretty impressive just by itself. But, yeah, I thought Mahomes did real good. I thought he was poised. You know, I have concerns anytime you see him on the ground.
Sure.
You know, you got to get worried. But, again, you know, those front 4 guys, front 7 really of the Jaguars, they seem like they're for real. And, you know, I think our – given the heat combination – I think it was a decent outing for the offensive line. I'm not saying it couldn't be better, because it always can.
All right, well, let's get right to it. We're not hearing very much definite on Tyreek Hill. Sounds like he's going to miss some time, but it's not going to go on IR. Doesn't sound like he's going to need surgery. So what do we glean from this thing in real time, Dan?
Well, you know, I talked with the Chiefs trainer, Rick Burkholder, and he gave me a very detailed explanation, which I could not understand, guys. So,
right.
But the long and short of it was no surgery was required. I think part of what is spooky about this is that it kicks into this protocol where they have to, or they want to look at other things to make sure there was no other damage done here. My very basic understanding is it's kind of like a shoulder dislocation, but that they're concerned that the dislocation can cause other internal damage. Mm. So in order to check that, they sent him to the hospital. So they sent him to the hospital. He stayed overnight in Jacksonville. He's now back in Kansas City, no surgery. Everybody's feeling very good about it. I think initially they reported 2 to 3 weeks. I can tell you from having seen him around the facility yesterday, I think they'll probably play it conservative, given that they were able to perform without him, but I have a feeling he's going to want to get back on that field as quick as he can. Let's just put it this way. I wouldn't surprise me if he were out for Sunday's contest with the Raiders, because that's what they initially said. It also wouldn't surprise me if you saw him in there. I just think he's a tough kid, and he's the kind of kid that wants back in there. Whether the medical staff will let him in there or not, I don't know. But I don't think it's serious enough to keep him out more than a couple of weeks. They had initially said 3. I'm telling you, Tyreek Hill is not going to sit out 3 weeks.
You think, just to follow up on that, you think that he'll be fitted for some sort of a harness, you know, to limit the mobility in the shoulder? I know neither one of us are doctors, but that the best way to do it if you just can't keep him off the field?
No, it's a good question. I don't know that. I can try to find that out for you and report back to you, because that's a great question. I don't, you know, I just had a brief moment with him yesterday, but the thing that he was just smiling, grinning from ear to ear about was, of course, the Chiefs fly home on a charter on a United flighter, on a United charter, rather. And with him not coming home from Jacksonville with us, he had to fly home commercially the next day on a United flight. Well, it just so happens that's one of the planes that all the fans were coming back. So he was on a plane full of fans and I think having a good time. And you know what? Good for him. He's definitely had a rough off season and you know, being injured, gets a big contract, goes high, then goes low, goes high. So good for him.
All right, Dan, what did we learn about the Chiefs defensively? I mean, this is going to be a work in progress, obviously, and we'll check the signs each and every week. What'd you take away from week one?
Well, I think that's exactly just it. You know, I mean, I had said earlier in talking with you guys previously that I think it's going to take a little while. I think it's going to take the month of September for them to gel. However, I thought you did see a very small glimmer, a microcosm of what this defense is going to be like. There was a drive in the third quarter there where they came out, they had attitude, they stopped the run on second down, they were able to get off the field on third down, and they did that by playing to the whistle with this attitude that they have now, and they stripped the ball, and they had a fumble recovery for a score, they had a defensive touchdown. You know, I feel like you saw just a glimpse of what they can be. And the two things I really liked out of what I saw in Jacksonville was, one, when the Jaguars defense, who reportedly is this, you know, powerhouse defense, shut down at the end of the third quarter. They not only didn't have any gas left in the tank, but they just quit. And you saw our defense, who we'd already hung 40 something points in the air. I mean, there was nothing for them to fight for. We saw them fight to the very last whistle. And I loved seeing that in the locker room. I was waiting for Andy Reid. I do that interview with him after the game, and I was waiting for him. And while I was waiting, I was talking to Frank Clark. I wasn't talking to him. I was just standing near Frank Clark. And he was basically talking to his guys and saying, 26 points. 26, that isn't good enough. 26 points is not good enough. We cannot let a team score 26 points on us. And I thought, you know, the locker room's not even open to the media yet. This isn't for show. Yeah. This is about how they felt about their performance. They were not satisfied. And I just love that attitude.
Good. Talking to Dan Israel, Chiefs Chat, brought to you by Midwest Kia. Every Tuesday at this time, Chiefs beat the Jaguars 40-26. The one thing I noticed, one of the things anyway, that I noticed watching the game on TV, Dan, is it sure looked to me like Jacksonville was trying to bully Kansas City. Maybe it was slanted that way because I'm watching it, you know, the Chiefs lens a little bit, but man, the Miles Jack fight and ejection notwithstanding, it sure looked like the Jaguar defense tried to exert their will on the Chiefs, but to no avail. How about your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you'd use the word bully. I use the word dirty. I just didn't look right.
Yeah, they're punks.
I don't, for whatever reason, and I don't know why, I don't know if that was the way the Jacksonville's going to play every team. I don't know if that's just Jaguar attitude or if they had something against the Chiefs or because of the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and the attention that we're getting right now. I don't know why, but it felt dirty. And I don't know in my long history of covering pro football that I've ever seen a player have to be physically picked up so that his feet cannot touch the ground.
Miles Jack lost his mind yesterday.
He lost his mind. It was like watching a school kid melt down on the playground. I don't think I've ever seen that. And then, you know, as you watch them physically restrain him like you would watch the police restrain a fan who had jumped out of the stands and run onto the field and drag him off the field, it was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like that. I can't imagine. I haven't been, you know, I've been so busy with the post-game wrap-up from yesterday. I haven't really seen if the NFL's come out yet and done any kind of fine, but I can't believe they're not going to do something, because that is not the kind of behavior you want to see out of one of your players.
Sammy Watkins obviously was otherworldly. This is the type of stuff that was really expected out of him right from the get-go. He was a very high draft pick. But, boy, it all came together for him, and just another weapon. And it's not like he wasn't a weapon for the Chiefs, but he redefines himself in terms of weaponry after the type of game that he played on Sunday, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's well put. You know, I think it was interesting to me. I kind of was – I don't want to say I was disappointed in Sammy Watkins because he wasn't ineffective. But I do think I was disappointed in the his ability to stay healthy. And in the off season this year, there was a lot of discussion about how we what are we going to do with Sammy Watkins. And the Chiefs had said, look, everybody – he's got feet and ankle issues. And the Chiefs had said – the Chiefs said, look, everybody else has tried to deal with his feet. They've always tried to address his feet. We don't think it's in his feet. We think it's in his posture and in some of his, you know, other muscles. And so they began to work from his hips on his torso, basically, from his hips to his shoulders, not his feet. And at the when I heard all of this and I had seen all of this, I had thought, well, you know, you got to try something different. It'd be crazy to try the same thing that, you know, doesn't work or hasn't proven to work anyway. And then, of course, we went into camp, and Sammy was saying, oh, yeah, I feel so much better. I can't even describe it. And I thought, well, you know, maybe it's working. Maybe it's working. But when you saw him come out in Jacksonville and look like he was playing for Clemson again, mm-hmm. I just realized that's the Sammy Watkins that we all thought we were getting. And, I don't know if this is going to continue or not. How can he put up 200 yards? Frankly, after a receiver's put up 100 yards on you, I don't know how the Jacksonville Jaguars defense didn't say, look, Tyreek Hill's not on the field, guys. How about we stop this mm-hmm. guy?
You know? Yeah.
But he looks so impressive. And for whatever reason, I would assume Coach Reed is going to continue to feature that guy until somebody stops him because he looked unstoppable on Sunday.
Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, joining us every Tuesday. Another guy that certainly earned at least a repeat opportunity, if not performance, LeSean McCoy. The guy had guy had 96 total yards, 93 total
Unreal.
Yards, and 11 touches.
You guys are going right down my list, man. It was stunning to me. We wondered if this guy had anything left in the tank. We wondered if we'd even see him.
Mm-hmm.
He arrived a minute and a half earlier. It was shocking to me to see how fresh his legs looked and how fast. And he had a run in the first quarter where it looked like he just dropped a gear and popped the clutch on this thing. And he went from one direction to another at a different speed. And I thought, that is Jamal Charles-like. That is Barry Sanders-like. This, you can see why people have talked about Shady McCoy for the last whatever years. I mean, he looked young. He looked fresh. I was very, very impressed with him. It was interesting. We talked with him after the game in the locker room, and they asked him, well, so what do you think about this Patrick Mahomes? And he said, well, you know, I didn't know much about him other than he was an MVP. I knew he was good, and I knew he had a lot of potential, but I didn't know he was this special. That's something else out there. He says, I can't believe I'm a part of this offense. He says, I can't wait for this year to evolve. And I thought, that's great, man. This guy's all in. He is so happy to be back with Coach Reed. He is so happy to be on a good offense. It just must show how bad things were up in Buffalo.
Mm. All right, into the black hole. Raiders showed an ability to run the football at a purportedly good defense. They weren't very good last night, the Broncos. I like Josh Jacobs, kid from Tulsa McLean High School. He looked very good. Derek Carr looked good, got rid of the ball quickly, threw for a high percentage. They appeared to be a team that had kind of shook off the whole millstone of Antonio Brown and played pretty well last night.
Yeah, I agree. It was interesting after that first game, especially the ending of that first game. I mean, it was like you're almost set up for the double header to not be worthy of watching because it was so exciting at the end of that game. But and congratulations to the Saints who finally pulled one out. But the Raiders surprised me, guys, and I don't know if this is an indicator that maybe the Broncos aren't ready to play yet or whether they really did shake off the whole AB. Boy, I expected them to be a complete dumpster fire, I got to be honest.
Me,
I mean,
too.
What a week they've had. What an off season they've had. And so I expected them to look just ponderously bad, and I didn't see that. I saw a very poised Derek Carr. I felt like John Gruden, from a play-calling standpoint, took advantage of the Denver Broncos when they had the chance. And so I don't know. It kind of gave me a little pause for concern. I still don't think they're good enough to hang with us, but you know, that's why we go out and play those games. But they certainly weren't the dumpster fire I thought they were going to be. Now, can they do it 2 weeks in a row? I don't know. To some degree, you have to wonder if they didn't want to come out and make a statement about we don't need Antonio Brown. Look, we haven't had Antonio Brown. You know,
sure.
He spent most of preseason trying to figure out how to strap his helmet on. So I don't know if that was a statement that was just born from emotion and, you know, passion, or if this is something that they're going to actually produce week after week, or again, if Denver just isn't ready for prime time. But they looked much better than I expected.
Well, the Raiders, what they will have going for them is they'll be home for the second straight week, and now the Chiefs will go from one end of the coast to the other with a somewhat hobbled Patrick Mahomes. I know the injury report won't come out until tomorrow, but if you had to guess, what's the issue with Patrick Mahomes? What happened to him on Sunday?
You know, we redress. After the game, we go into the locker room and redress for the bus because we have to be in business attire. And so I was right next to Patrick Mahomes. We were both redressing, talking just before boarding the bus. And I watched him very closely, guys, to see whether he was favoring his ankle or hobbling. He certainly wasn't on crutches. It wasn't taped up. He didn't even have a bag of ice on it. Now, look, is he sore today? Probably sore yesterday for sure. But I don't think you're going to see any ill effect from this. I just think he's a tough kid. I think he probably rolled up on it. It's probably happened to him before. And I'd be shocked if you see any after effects from this on Sunday. I didn't see any from the moment I saw him in the locker room after the game to the moment we got off the plane in Kansas City. There was no favoring of that ankle, and so I really don't think you'll see any lingering effect.
You know, one thing that I thought I saw, and help me here, is Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid, after the injury, they didn't waste any time getting the ball out of his hands. There were no more deep drops. Let's just get it out quick. Let's finish this game and get it over with him still upright.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they were concerned probably about the push-off. You know, when you do a 5- and 7-step drop, those you still got to get that done in a hurry. And that's just, so you're putting a lot of pressure on those lower limbs and stuff. So I think you're right. They probably knew, hey, we don't need this yet. Let's not act like we – I think that's an incredible discipline when you know you can do something and yet you don't do it, even though you know you could. You know, it's flashy. You want to show it off. And frankly, they were doing just fine, you know, working it the other way. And I think that gave us an opportunity to see McCoy and some of this, you know, what the running game looks like. I thought another guy that stood out in this, and I'm varying from your question a little bit. Another guy that stood out in this was DeMarcus Robinson. These guys, he doesn't get enough credit, guys, for those long plays like the Sammy Watkins 68-yarder or whatever that was, touchdown. He is downfield blocking that safety on almost every one of those big plays. That doesn't just happen, you know. And I think Coach Reed has always been in his offense always required that his guys get downfield and block and participate. You know, whether you're catching the ball or not is irrelevant. But I'm not sure DeMarcus Robinson gets enough credit sometimes for that, but he's always involved when those are big plays, you know, that plays going for 35, 40 yards. It always seems like he's downfield taking care of the safety. I think he should get more credit for that.
And final question before we let you go. The one thing I also noticed was a lack of, because they didn't really need it, the gadget plays and gimmicky plays, the end of rounds, the crazy stuff that every once in a while with all those toys Andy Reid is known for, but you save those for another day when you really need them, right?
Yeah, agreed. You know, I think the one thing we did see, and I think it was probably Mahomes' decision, was the no-look pass.
Right.
Didn't work out so well.
Should have had a touchdown, probably, right, Dan?
That's right. Well, you know, it's interesting. I thought, you know, Mahomes after the game said, Travis, I guess I owe you lunch. He says, you don't owe me anything, man. He says, I wouldn't have been wide open if you'd been looking at me. And I thought, that's pretty cool, you know.
One way to put
it. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so the Chiefs take on the Raiders next Sunday. Of course, your home of the Chiefs is on KNSS 1330 and 98.7. The Chiefs will try to go to 2-0. As they will, let's see here, got a 3:05 game, and Dan and Mitch and the boys and Danny will have that for you. We look forward to it. Chiefs win 40-26, matchup of 1-0 teams that frankly don't like each other. So let's get this going, too, the Chiefs and Raiders week.
Yeah, it's a big one. Raiders week, always that game, right?
Thanks, Dan.
Yep, no, that's right. Thanks, Dan.
Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network. 40-26, kind of business as usual. What were Jacob and your takeaways from that?
The only obviously the Tyreek Hill situation is a concern.
Yeah.
And I did think that Mahomes was gotten to too much. I think he got knocked down a little bit.
Yeah.
it was a little more than two hand touch. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. And so I'm not saying that was a concern. It's just something that I noticed. Like, yeah. Okay, let's not have that start here. Now that's realizing that Jacksonville, even though I think they're a bunch of punks, they at least are capable. Their front seven can put pressure on. So we'll see. But yeah, I think all is well.
I'm always a little more happy that when the Chiefs win than when they don't. You know, mm-hmm. staying not 100% out of fandom. But with the way the Jaguars looked and were playing, I was like, hell, I hope they score 55 on those guys.
Yeah.
You know, Jalen Ramsey was pushing around Tyreek Hill after he landed on his shoulder. And,
sure.
And then Watkins scored on him. And then Miles Jack. I've never
and
seen
Miles
him melt
Jack's
that.
Just was... just was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a meltdown.
It was a child.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, you know, my gosh.
All right.
Just ridiculous.
To make up for yesterday, let's give away a couple more Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets. They're coming early December to Entrust Bank Arena. Got a chance to win them before you can buy them right now. Caller 3-869-1240. Trans-Siberian Orchestra at Entrust. State Farm pick reveals right after this. A little less than great. But, spoiler, we all did the exact same thing again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Come on.
We'll tell you how and how bad it was when we come back. 869-1240. Win some tickets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.